a time of rightly dividing the word of truth. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Ministries, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
So grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and you know we're thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. We work hard to do that, and we would love to hear from you. Write us a letter of encouragement, something in the way of how these radio broadcasts are blessing you, or we would love both for your prayerful and financial support. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, or do please go see our new website, www.agradio.org. And now we have brand new podcasts up for you. Everything is podcasted. You can go through iTunes. It's all set up very nicely to come and to take these radio broadcasts with you on your phones or whatever you want to do. We're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 8 and 9 this week on Israel asking for a king. What a practical section for the Christian today to understand how he is to live under the Lord's kingship and not put trust in men. None of us really like change much, do we? It's scary. It's hard to deal with. Behind the reality of change is the emotion of fear. What is new is often so uncertain. So many questions, so many what ifs. What does this mean for the future? And the greatest of all being that change threatens our security. There's not a question mark about the reality of change. For everything, there is a season. The question is about what should be our perspective through it, how we should move forward. You see, these times of change either take us in one place or another. The right thing they should do is take us to the Lord. To see that he sits enthroned above it all and that he's promised never to leave nor forsake his people. We should seek the Lord and realize no matter how unsettling things have become, it is the Lord who has declared, I am the Lord, I do not change. There is nothing more beautiful in a changing world, in changing times, to hear our Lord say this to us, that he's with us, that he does not leave his people, that he provides for them. Turning to him, he promises that in all our ways, as we acknowledge him, he will direct our paths. That's one way. That's the right way to go in seasons of change. But then there's another. And that's what we have before us in 1 Samuel 8 this week and 9. When change comes upon us, we can try to adapt and solve change with our own answers, our own agendas, our own solutions, all the while in fear turning away from the Lord. That's a tragic way to go. In that case, a more serious problem results. The Lord may give you just what you want. The Lord may allow you to experience and taste how empty that answer is that you have sought elsewhere without him. He may let you taste how empty your solutions are without him. It's a strange irony, isn't it? The thing you are trying to prevent by taking things into your own hands, you actually end up creating for yourself. That's 1 Samuel 8. 1 Samuel 8 is given to show what happens when we turn away from the Lord as the sovereign ruler over our lives. When we put our trust in other answers, other men, other remedies. I'm thankful for this. Because I hear the call here that no matter the changes and trials that come upon us, trust the Lord's sovereign protection over you. He is our Ebenezer. He has been, as Samuel will say, a stone of help, no matter the times. He has always helped us thus far. And in the future, he will never leave us nor forsake us. This is a true, of course, only for the Christian. So let me set the scene here a little bit for you on Abounding Grace today. Samuel has been calling God's people Israel to turn to the Lord as their leader and king. Some real time has elapsed here since the last chapter. The last chapter ended on a really high note. There was repentance and confession before the Lord. And they had said together, "We've sinned before the Lord." And there Samuel offered a lamb who showed us Christ. And Israel received deliverance as the Lord had promised. Well, as we come to chapter 8, we read that the times, as they say, are a-changing. There's a crisis in the leadership. Verse 1. Now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Samuel was at the end of the road to judge Israel. This was a discouraging moment in the life of Israel. Samuel's strength as a leader was failing. Remember, the last chapter showed us that Samuel alone had been the bright spot in Israel's leadership. Keep this in mind. From the time of the judges to 1 Samuel 7, what was leadership like in Israel? Judges tells us, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes." Sound familiar, by the way? They had tried to make Gideon king. And remember what Gideon said? "I will not rule over you. My son will not rule over you. The Lord will rule over you." This whole period, they had rejected that leadership. But under the leadership of Samuel and through Samuel, we saw the Lord working. God was again ruling his people through Samuel. And what a leader Samuel was. He returned them to the Lord. Well, as we come to chapter 8, now we're being taken years ahead. From chapter 7, when he spoke, to chapter 8, Samuel has grown old. And what is presented in chapter 8 is that Samuel has tried to remedy the problem with his own sons. Here's the problem. His sons are not godly men. Verse 2 tells us that the names of his sons were Joel and Abijah. Joel means Yahweh is God, and Abijah means Yahweh is our father. But verse 3 says something tragic, that his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. The job of the judge was to pursue justice. But we read here, just like Eli's sons, Samuel's sons pursued gain. In one way, this is one of the most disturbing things I have read yet in Samuel. I don't know really what to even say about it. Here was a very faithful prophet of the Lord who raised his sons in a God-fearing way, and this is what you read. All I want to say is, think about what's here. You can't ride on the coattails of your parents. Samuel could be your dad. You could have the best of biblical names, the best of biblical upbringings, and still not know the Lord. Your life being dishonest. And so I say what Jesus says when he walked here on this earth, "Come to Christ, come to me," says the Lord. But that's not really the focus here. The focus here is to say that Israel's leadership had fallen into crisis. Their pillar in Israel, the voice of the Lord in Samuel, had grown old. Samuel was a mere man, and all leaders come and go, here even through aging. Now, everything that follows is teaching us to rely upon the Lord to provide us godly leaders and godly pastors who will earnestly do his will and seek for the glory of his name and the salvation of his people. So what happens? We read verse 4, and now it all starts. All the elders gathered together, and they came to Samuel at Ramah, and they said to him, and I quote, "Look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king just like all the nations." Now this may not seem so bad. The right approach should have been, "Samuel, this all reminds us of Eli and his sons. Eli didn't do anything about it. We're seeing history repeated. Would you call out to the Lord that he might raise up another leader that he chooses to lead us as he has done through you?" That's not what we have. They're looking at things. Samuel's old. His sons are worthless. They're not taking them anywhere. Here's what we need. Let me construct this a little bit different for a moment. Come, make for us a king. For as for you and your sons, we don't know what happened to them. Sound familiar? You know what this all is reminiscent of in the same construction almost? Exodus 32 and the golden calf. Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Hear the golden calf there? We don't want you anymore, Samuel. We want you to make us a king that will lead us. For as for this God, we don't know what's become of him. That's the whole thrust of this. You see, dear listener, it's the same sin. What's the sin? Idolatry. We all want a king, don't we? But we don't want the Lord ruling over us. He's not taking us anywhere, it feels at times. We don't like the situation. Here we sit at Sinai. They were dictating their plans to the Lord. What was wrong in asking for a king? Well, the answer is really simple. The Lord was their king. He had been with them the whole time. He had led them. He had cared for them. He had fed them. He had provided for them. And above all, he had protected them from all of their enemies. Talk about an amazing king. The last chapter ends that for a reason. The Lord thundered down and destroyed their enemies. But as soon as things didn't go the way they thought it should have, they're looking at an old leader. They're looking at worthless sons. There's no power. There's no glory. And what do they say? Here's where it was all wrong. Samuel, this is not what we return to the Lord for. We're looking at all the nations of the land. They have these strong political centers of power. It's a proven method that works. All of these nations have a central figure. He sits on a throne. Look at the nations all around us. They have one of these, a powerful national figure we can see who leads them, who's powerful over them. And here we sit with an unseen God in the back of a tent. We need a man for the times. We need something more. We need something new. We want it just like all the other nations have it. Do you hear the real cry here? What did the Lord say about Israel, dear listener? You're my special treasure among all the peoples, a holy nation, a kingdom of priests, a people for myself. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be your king. What did they want? Security in what an earthly king could visibly and tangibly supply for them. Are we really so different? You think we face these temptations? Sure we do. We're all looking for answers in the political world. We're all looking for answers from men. But you know what the Lord says? He has set his king on Zion. He has appointed a powerful king. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make all your enemies a footstool for your feet. Who is the true king? It's Jesus Christ. He is the leader. He is the king. Every knee is bowing and every tongue is confessing that he is Lord over all. The question is, who is your king? Have you submitted your life to him? Or are you desperately trying to control your life, looking for answers everywhere and in anything else other than the Lord? The Lord is our refuge and our strength, the very present help in trouble. He is our king. May we live under his gracious reign and submit to the King Jesus that we glorify him in his powerful reign over us. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program. We ask both humbly for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.